Yasoda Nandana Brajana Nandana Yasoda Ramuna Kira Vanachari Ramuna Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya, Prabhupada, Jaya. Jaya, Mishra, Bhagavad, 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 Gacharya, Sada, Sisi, Vada, Sisi, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Namachara Haridas Thakur ki jai, Prem Sugaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivedanta ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopita, Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Navadab Dham ki jai, Ganga Jamuna Tulsi Bhakti Devi ki jai, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Samaveta, Bhakti Vrindaki Jai, Go Premanandi. All glories to the sum of devotees. All glories to the sum of devotees. All glories to the sum of devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Sarasvata Deve Gauravani Pracharane. Nirvishesha Shunjavadi Pashtatadesha Tadane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Jiva Goswami has speaking of the different bhavas, intensity of bhavas, and then the different rasas, which are a result of combination of a sthayi bhava with these other four elements. He's analyzed shanta and dasya and sakya and vatsalya. So now he analyzes ujwala rasa, which is madhurya rasa. Ujwala is another name. Another name is Shringara Rasa. So Ujwala means very bright. And an Ujwala often is synonymous with Madhurya Rasa or conjugal rasa, which means the relationship between a man and a woman. And this is considered to be the highest rasa as well. So like with the other rasas, we have the Vibhava, which has the alambana in it, which means who's the object of love. So it is Krishna, and he takes the form of a lover. In Vatsalya Bhava, Krishna takes the form of a small child for his parents. And in Sakya Rasa, Krishna takes the form of an equal friend. So here he takes the form of a lover. So each mood expresses, we get a different vision of Krishna, object Krishna for the different rasas. So here he is the lover. And the devotee who's the asrai or the adhara, that's the devotees who have similar feelings, and they have female bodies. So we have different types. We have what is called the samanya, or very ordinary type of ujwala rasa. It's not so strong with the desire to get your own enjoyment. So this is the kubja. And then we have sviya, which means one's own lover. So that means the married consort of Krishna. And we have the married consorts in Dwarka. So we have Rukmini and all these other queens. So this is called sviya. And then we have parakya. That means not married. So we have the gopis of Vrindavan, and among them we have the topmost, who is Radha. So that's the people involved in this rasa. And of all these different persons who are in conjugal rasa, the gopis are considered to be the strongest in their love for Krishna. Just as mad elephants overcome a fort by their strength, so the gopis overcome all obstacles by the strength of their prema. So the gopis are unmarried, so they have obstacles to their love. Parents or husbands. And the opinion of the people in general. So they have to hide themselves all the time. They have to sneak out of the house or whatever like this. So this is the obstacle to their love. But it can never break their love. So that's what constitutes prema. In spite of all obstacles, the love continues. So that's the definition of prema. So among all the devotees of the Lord, the gopis get the greatest obstacles. Like Sakya Rasa, there is no obstacle. Parents aren't going to forbid their children from playing with Krishna. There's no obstacle from parents. And for Vatsalya Rasa, nobody forbids the elders from having a love of Krishna as their child. But for the gopis, then there's this idea of shame and criticism, so they have a great obstacle in their love. But this tests their, let's say, their love, and they overcome all of these obstacles. So, many of these gopis are actually the Sarup Shakti of Krishna, particularly Radharani is the Kladini Shakti. So these the gopis come in groups. There are many, many gopis, and they're all in big groups with the leader, who's called the Nayaki, or the heroine of the group. And then she has all of her followers, and they have kind of similar qualities together. So we can analyze the different groups in terms of Radha's group. So Radha has her group, and her friends are called the Sakis, the friends in her group. We got other groups headed by other gopis, not Radha, other gopis, but they're friendly groups, and they assist. If Radha wants to meet Krishna, then these gopis get together and they make schemes to defeat Chandravali and help Radha and her group meet Krishna. So they're called the Suhrit group, the friendly group. They assist. We have the Tathashta group, which are neutral, called borderline groups. Actually, they're not so neutral after all, because they side with the enemy group. That is Chandravali's group, the Pratipaksha. These are the enemies. So Chandravali is the main enemy, and she has her group, and then her group, they try to make arrangements to meet Krishna, and then Radha's group opposes. And then we have the Tathashta people in the middle, but they actually side with Chandravali, and they help her meet Krishna. Like that. So this is where we get different groups in terms of their relationships with Radha's group. So we have, for instance, in the Sapaksha group, Radha's own group, we got Lalita and Vishaka, so many Sakis are there, 8 Sakis in principle. We have the friendly groups, and Shamala is the head of one of the friendly groups. Then we have the Tathashta groups, which favor Chandravali, but they have their own heads like Taraka and Shama. And then we have the real enemy group, that is Chandravali's group, and then we have Pali, Padma, and Saibhya. Their names often come up in the Leelas when Rupa Goswami writes plays. We have Padma or Saibhya coming along and criticizing Radharani or something like that. So we have all these different groups there. So all this takes place within the Parakiya Rasa, because all these gopis have husbands. So what is the Udipana, the stimulus in Krishna that attracts the gopis? His complexion. So often we see when the gopis describe Krishna, or Radha describes Krishna, they talk about his shama anga, his very dark limbs, the color of his limbs. It's very attractive. Also, shama is the color of Madhurya Rasa. Each rasa has a color. So the color of Madhurya Rasa is shama, a dark blue color. So I guess when they see Krishna, that color stimulates their Madhurya Rasa. Taste, fragrance, touch, sound, good qualities, new youth are attractive. Sound, of course, we have flute sound, sound of his voice, sound of his ankle bells, tinkle, 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 like that. And then the gopis get excited when they hear his ankle bells in the forest. Or the belt on his bells on his belt, jingling like that. The footsteps, you do that. Fragrance. His body has a very attractive, sweet fragrance. Or we have the garland has a fragrance. So these things are attractive, and when they smell the wind and they sense fragrance, so then they get excited. There's many, many different qualities. There are the 64 qualities are explained in the Nectar Devotion. So we have all these different sattvika bhavas, which are these spontaneous emotions like fainting, or actions like fainting and crying. We have the anubhavas, the actions of the gopis, like making garlands for Krishna, cooking for Krishna, etc. Conscious activities, and vyabhichari bhavas, all sorts of minor emotions like jealousy and anger and lamentation, worry, dejection, whatever, disgust, all these things are vyabhichari bhavas. So, as with other rasas, there's two aspects, separation and union. And within this, then we get all of these elements, certain anubhavas, certain sattvika bhavas, certain vyabhachari bhavas manifesting. And in separation, usually we get extreme sattvika bhavas, extreme vyabhachari bhavas. Not only for the gopis and Madhurya Rasa, but for all of them, but because the gopis' love is more intense, we get extreme actions and sattvika bhavas taking place in separation. This separation in the material world, of course, separation is considered to be tragic. And in the spiritual world, it appears to be the same because everybody laments. And the people of Vrindavan lament when Krishna goes away to Mathura. So it looks like painful, but it's actually a part of rasa, part of spiritual rasa. And it actually increases the joy when there is a meeting or sambhog. So, in other words, Ujjwal Nilamani says, sambhog or meeting is not strong without viparlamba. In order to get a joy in the meeting, you have to have a separation. Example is given. When you dye a cloth, there's a certain red dye that goes in there. You keep dyeing it, it gets a deeper and deeper and deeper red. So like strength gets stronger and stronger. So by the separation, that love and the joy of sambhog becomes stronger and stronger. So in Madhurya Rasa, this is called viparlamba. The separation is called viparlamba. It's not called viparlamba in the other rasas, it's called viyoga. But in Madhurya Rasa, it's called viparlamba. So this is for the persons in Madhurya Rasa. It can be the queens in Dwarka or the gopis in Vrindavan, either way, Svakya or Parakya. So there are different types of separation. Separation before even meeting and talking to each other. That's called the Purva Raga. So we see the gopis, when they were growing up, before they attained Kaishor age, before Krishna attained Kaishor age, they didn't actually speak to Krishna. But then they started developing attraction to Krishna. And then we see verses in the Bhagavatam where they're saying, oh, this Krishna is very nice, like this. So that's expressing their Purva Raga. Prior attraction to Krishna. But it's separation. They can't even see Krishna. So this is a type of separation. So the cowherd girls began to speak about Krishna, but when they remembered his activities, O king, the power of Cupid disturbed their minds, and thus they could not speak. So this is before they actually met Krishna. So the first time they actually met and spoke to Krishna was the Rasa-lila. And then they got to meet Krishna, they spoke to him. But before that, it was all Purva Raga, separation. No pastimes together. And in Dwarka, we find similarly, Rukmini has heard about Krishna, and she started falling in love with Krishna, and she wrote a letter to Krishna. So this is her Purva Raga. She never met Krishna. She had this feeling for Krishna. O beauty of the worlds, having heard of your qualities which enter the ears of those who hear and remove their bodily distress, having also heard of your beauty which fulfills all desire of those who see, I have fixed my shameless mind upon you, O Krishna. This is expresses that separation and without even having met. So then we have meeting. So the first meeting, after that Purva Raga, then we have the first meeting. And meeting means there is seeing, speaking, touching, etc. in conjugal rasa. Actually, with the Krishna, this is before the Rasa-lila, when Krishna stole the clothes of the gopis. But these are a different set of gopis. These are not the ones in the Rasa-lila. These are not the married gopis. These are the unmarried young girls. So he got to meet them first. What about Krishna with the Brahmana's wives? There is a feeling of Madhurya Rasa there, but it's not complete. It's a reflection of that. And they can't express themselves fully. And it's said to be incompatible. Why the incompatibility? Because we could say, well, it's just like the gopis and Krishna, because it's like parakia. The gopis have husbands, and the brahmanas' wives, the wives have husbands also. What's the difference? The difference is that they were from brahmana status, and Krishna is Vaishya status, different status. So there wasn't such a compatibility there because of that. So it's considered an abhas of sambhog when Krishna meets them. So this describes when Krishna played his flute for the Rasalila. When the young women of Vrindavan heard Krishna's flute song, which aroused the romantic feelings, their minds were captivated by the Lord. They went to where their lover waited, each unknown to the other, as moving so quickly that their earrings swung back and forth. And then finally they met Krishna. And similarly, Rukmini meets Krishna. And finally he kidnaps her, so that's when he first meets her. So, within Madhurya Rasa, one of the prominent elements is man, or anger. This is one of the stages. We have rati, and prema, and sneha, and pranaya, and man, and raga, and anuraga, and mahabhava. So man is one of those stages. This manifests in Madhurya Rasa particularly. It interrupts the favorable mood of Madhurya Rasa, the loving mood. So it's described in the Ujjvala Lamani. The movement of a snake is naturally crooked. It goes like this. So the Madhurya Prema, conjugal rasa, has that same nature. Man between couples arises either with cause or without cause. So with cause, what is the anger? Jealousy. Or pride or whatever, and refusal to meet Krishna. So this man leads to separation. For instance, Radha will refuse to meet Krishna. And then Krishna starts to lament. Why does she do that? Because anger, jealousy. She hears that Krishna went out to meet Chandravali. So she get angry at Krishna and won't meet him. So that's man. So that's the type of separation. We have man without cause. As the two lovers passed through one part of Vrindavan forest, the special gopi began feeling proud of herself. She told Krishna, who had tied up her hair, "I cannot walk any further. Please lead me wherever you want to go." So this is again a sign of her pride. Not so much of a cause for that, but nevertheless it led to separation ultimately. So eventually, that type of separation from man, or pride and anger, after that we get a union again, and that happens in the Rasa, in the story where Krishna disappeared from Radha, and then finally Krishna came back. When the gopis heard the Lord speak these most charming words, they forgot their distress caused by separation from him. Touching his limbs, they felt all their desires fulfilled. So there's a union after the anger. We get the same thing in many stories in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, like in even Gita Govinda. Again, there's separation. Radharani gets angry, doesn't want to meet Krishna, and then finally Krishna pleads, and then they get together again. So this is like the snake. The love, conjugal rasa, is like the snake just doing this. Prema Vaichitya is another type of separation that takes place in Madhurya Rasa. It's not separation, but somehow when they're together, then the women think Krishna's not there. So it's imaginary separation. They're so bewildered by love that they think he's not there. Pain, because of thinking of separation, even though the lover is present, out of bewilderment of madness and prema, is called prema vaichitya. An example of that, of course, is the queens in Dwarka. There's a whole section there about the queens. The queens would become stunned in ecstatic trance, their minds absorbed in Krishna alone. Then thinking of their lotus-eyed Lord, that their lotus-eyed Lord was absent, they would talk as if insane. So then another type of separation is called pravas. They actually go away. So sometimes there's a short distance in the same pastime. We'll find that Krishna leaves or Radha leaves for some purpose or whatever. And so there's it's not a prolonged departure, but there's some little separation. And usually within the same pastime it takes place. And then there's a union eventually. As in the Rasa-lila, there was separation. Krishna disappeared and all the gopis lamented. And then Krishna went away with Radha. And then Krishna disappeared from Radha, so she also was in separation. And then all the gopis looked for Krishna. They couldn't find him anywhere. They traced his footprints in the forest. But then it got very dark. The trees got very dense and the moonlight wasn't shining through and they couldn't see the footprints anymore. So they got disappointed. They went to the bank of the Ganga, and then they began doing kirtan. And then suddenly Krishna appeared. So it's a short separation. And then there's union after that. And then after that, Krishna had Rasa-lila with the gopis. And so that was the union. So that took place within one pastime, the Rasa-lila. Then we have short type of departure, but there's some pastimes in between. Whenever Krishna went to the forest, the minds of the gopis would run after him, and thus the young girls sadly spent their days singing his pastimes. So Krishna goes to the forest, everybody, including not only the gopis, but Yasoda and Nanda also get separated from Krishna. Meanwhile, Krishna goes out with the cowherd boys, and then he has different pastimes. He may kill the demon, they may play in the forest, etc. Krishna may meet the gopis in the forest, whatever like that. Then he comes back in the evening, and then there's a union again after. So there's a separation of some pastimes in between. Yeah. Like that. So in the union, it takes place in the evening. At the end of the day, having rounded up all his cows, he plays a song on his flute, while exalted Devata standing along the path worship his lotus feet, and the cowherd boys accompanying him chant his glories. And so then Krishna comes back, and then everybody meets Krishna. So there's many descriptions of this in the poetic works of the Goswamis and Acharyas. So that's short type of separation in a pastime or with several pastimes. And this takes place daily. Yeah? So the separation produces this feeling of intensity, there's a union. So the separation creates more joy in the union. Then we have prolonged separation. This takes place when Krishna has his pastimes in the material world. Krishna goes to Mathura. He stays there. He sends Yasoda, Nanda back with all the cowherd boys. And he says, I'm coming in a little while, but he doesn't come. They're waiting and waiting for 3 months and whatever. Krishna sends a messenger, Uddhava, and he says, I'm coming back eventually. And then Uddhava goes, they wait. Then Krishna goes to Dwarka, and still they're waiting a long time. And then finally, they want to meet Krishna, so they go to Kurukshetra and they meet Krishna. And again, Krishna says, I'll have to kill some demons. After that, I'll come back. And so they go back to Vrindavan again, and they wait. Like that. So this is prolonged separation that takes place for many years. The gopis then turned back without hope that Govinda would ever return to them. With sorrow, they began to spend their days and nights chanting about the pastimes of their beloved. So this creates intense feelings, very, very intense feelings of grief and lamentation. And they have what is called death-like symptoms. It's one of the Vebachari Bhava's death, mriti. So it's not actual death because they don't die, but there's extreme symptoms that appear like death. So they faint or whatever, they just lie down, breathing, etc. So very intense grief. And of course, the in that the intensity of that separation is represented by Radha when she speaks to the bee, in which she's thinking of the bee as a messenger from Krishna, and then she's praising the bee or criticizing the bee, etc. Because of her great attachment to Krishna, she thinks the bee is the messenger of Krishna. So, in this way, it's a type of madness or whatever taking place because of the intense feeling of separation. So this is a very famous incident in all. There's a whole description of the different types of talking that go on between from Radha in relation to the bee. So, the gopis got to meet Krishna finally at Kurukshetra. It wasn't a long meeting, but nevertheless they got to meet Krishna. So that was somewhat satisfying. So that was the sambhoga after that long separation. Now, seeing Krishna again after such a long separation with their eyes, they took him into their hearts and they embraced him to their full satisfaction. Sambhoga consisted of seeing, touching, and speaking took place there. Though they met after separation, which occurred after previous sambhoga, they would separate and meet again. Krishna again came to Vrindavan after Dwarka. So he left, went back to Dwarka. People of Vrindavan went back. They went back to Vrindavan from Kurukshetra, and they waited again. Bhagavatam does not directly describe that Krishna went back. There's our hints that the acharyas point out, but in Padma Purana there it says directly that Krishna did go back. He killed Dantavakra at the gate of Mathura, and after killing him, then he went back. He crossed the river and he went to meet the people of Vrindavan again. So then that was the real sambho meeting again with the gopis and all the other people. And so he stayed for 2 months and visible to the material world. And then, as described in the Padma Purana, that they all entered into the apricot pastimes together. So in other words, they got united and they stayed united forever after that point, but they kind of disappeared from this world. Meanwhile, Krishna had to continue pastimes in Dwarka. So he had another form that went back to Dwarka. And simultaneously, he was also in this form in Vrindavan and continually having the pastimes. So in other words, he met the people of Vrindavan, including the gopis, and they continued as they had previous to leaving Vrindavan when he went or Kura took him. So it's the same, he went back to the same pastimes again, and that goes into an eternal form. So in that way, the manifested pastimes in Vrindavan merge with the invisible pastimes. They go on eternally. In this way, there is the union takes place and it becomes eternal, and there's no longer prolonged separation. So then that takes place eternally. And Jiva Goswami, he has a whole, in Krishna Sandarbha particularly, the whole section on how the two pastimes are there, the prakat pastimes in this world and the aprakat pastimes. And the aprakat pastimes go on eternally. And the prakat pastimes has some variations like prolonged separation, etc. But eventually the union is there, and then they eternally situated in union in the spiritual world with only slight separation. Okay, so within sambhog we have various types of, or meeting, we have different types of activities like stealing, like Krishna steals the clothes of the gopis, or sometimes the gopis steal Krishna's flute or his peacock feather or whatever. So these are little pastimes they have, like that. Stealing the flute. Pastimes of singing it together. So they do kirtan. in the Ras Leelas described that Krishna would sing very sweetly, very skillfully also, in various complicated rhythms, and with different ragas, and with very clever words. And then the gopis would start singing, and they would compete with Krishna. Let's see if we could be, have better melody and better rhythm. And simultaneously, they were also dancing, with very complicated dance steps. So they do a lot of singing together. And of course, the dancing goes together. So the Rasalila actually is considered to be the ultimate pastime in the whole spiritual world, because it combines singing and dancing and joking and speaking, and all the different arts are combined in that at one moment, and Krishna with everybody. So it's considered to be the climax of joy. So dancing is a thing. There's a whole section also in the, I think, Ananda Vrindavan Champu. It describes all the different mudras and things that the gopis are, like in Bharatanatyam, they have all these hand movements. So just go through all the hand movements they're making and all the different dance poses they have. And playing in the water, that's another part of Sambhog meeting. So the water pastimes are very famous. Actually, in the spiritual world, Krishna has daily pastimes with the gopis in Kanchana Rasa. So usually at one part of the day they go down to the Jamuna River, and then they have splash around in the water and have games in the water, etc. Hide among the lilies and the lotuses and splash each other with water. Like that. They have pastimes in the forest. Among them is the swing, which is described in some detail in Ananda Vrindavan Champu, where they have a very elaborately made swings from the different trees, and then they get on the swing, and some of the swings are very elaborate, like big lotuses, and then Radha Krishna in the middle and all the gopis around, and there's somebody pushing that big swing. Or sometimes it's just Radha and Krishna on the swing, and the gopis are pushing that. And their swings are very decorated and whatever, with flowers. So, swinging is one, and other pastimes they have in the forest, like that. Oh. Okay, so we have secondary rasas, which are described in detail in the fourth part of the Nectar Devotion. That's the northern section of the Nectar Devotion. So the southern section describes rasa in general with anubhavas, sthayi bhava, vibhava, etc. The third part, which is called the western section, deals with primary rasas, five primary rasas, and then it explains each one like it here explains. And then the last part of the book is secondary rasas, seven secondary rasas. So the secondary rasas do not exist unless the primary rasa exists. It's based on it. And they can't have a separate existence in the spiritual world. In the material world, the secondary rasas cannot be independent. We can have hatred without any love. So it's quite different. So they assist the primary rasas. So we have astonishment, comedy or laughter, bravery, virya, anger, fright, disgust, and compassion. These are the secondary rasas. So, adbhuta rasa, this is called astonishment. The sthayi bhava is called pritimaya vishmaya. So, Krishna is the object of astonishment. Why? Because he may do some very amazing activity. For instance, he liberates Agasura, and the devatas get astonished. Ha ha, how can a demon get liberation? So that's an amazing action of Krishna. And the devotee is the person who gets astonished, the Adara or Asraya. And what are the udipanas for this rasa? Actions of Krishna, amazing actions of Krishna. They're the udipanas. What are the anubhavas? That may be expression of that astonishment. So widening of the eyes. The eyes get very wide. He says, ah, like this is the Anubhava. Vebhichari bhavas may be avega, mental confusion, harsha, joy, etc. So this is an example. Chitram vaitat ekena vapusa yugupat pratak graheshu vyastas asram striya eka udavahat. It is quite amazing that in a single body, Lord Krishna simultaneously married 16,000 women, each in a separate palace. So that here, this is called astonishing. That's Chitrama. It is very, very astonishing to see how Krishna had expanded himself to marry all these women. Hasya rasa. This is the laughing rasa, or pritimaya hasya, which is defined as a joyful heart taking pleasure for the self by laughing out loud. And so we get pleasure from laughing. So the alambana is Krishna, who is the cause of affectionate laughter because of unusual action. So Krishna does something funny and then everybody laughs. And the adhara, or the experiencer, is the devotee. What are the stimulus? What creates the hasya rasa? Some strange actions, distorted actions, comical actions, speech, clothing, etc. What are the anubhavas? Trembling of the nose, lips, and cheeks. What are the vebhichari bhavas? Joy, alasya, and avahita, concealment, things like that. And for instance, we have this type of thing, smiling. Successful at stealing, sometimes he passes urine and stool in a neat, clean place in our houses, as well as performing other naughty acts. But now he is sitting before you like a very good boy. The gopis would look at Krishna sitting there with fearful eyes. His mother, hearing the complaint, smiled softly, but did not scold him. So she was smiling when they were all doing that. So this is a hasya, a feeling of hasya in Mother Yasoda. Taking the girl's garments, Krishna quickly climbed on top of the kadamba tree. Then, as he laughed loudly and his companions also laughed, he addressed the girls jokingly. So this is laughter. Krishna's laughing at the gopis with no clothing on, and they're trying to cover themselves. So that's hasya. Vira, rasa. It's called also utsaha, or enthusiasm. We have different types of this rasa. Dharma vira, enthusiasm to dharma, acts of dharma to please Krishna. And the udipanas are like hearing from scriptures, anubhavas are proper conduct, etc. Act nicely according to dharma. And vebhichari bhavas are things like mati and smriti, remembering, referring to scripture, etc. So here's one. O Govinda, I desire to worship your auspicious, opulent expansions by the Rajasuya sacrifice, the king of Vedic ceremonies. Please make our endeavor a success, my lord. This is Yudhisthira speaking. I want to show off auspicious sacrifices, Rajasuya sacrifice. So that's vira in terms of dharma vira. Okay. Doya vira, desire to show off mercy. This is maybe a little bit strange on this one. Krishna in a disguised form. Krishna wears clothing to appear miserable and worthy of charity so that a person will sacrifice out of compassion for all beings which he understands are dear to the Lord. Out of compassion, which will produce affection for the Lord. If Krishna were not disguised, nobody would think himself as poor, and thus could not express his doya vir. So to Krishna, how can he express compassion for Krishna? Really, is charity only if Krishna looks like he's poor. So if he disguises himself as a poor man, then the person can do charity to them. Krishna would appear to be suffering, and anubhavas in the devotee would be consoling words, etc. Okay. It's not so common we've seen Krishna's pastimes, but the example is Vishnu. He disguised himself as a poor, hungry guest and approached Ranti Deva. So that's in disguise. And then Ranti Deva likes to give charity and food, etc. Dhanavira, enthusiasm to give things, which we find in Nanda Maharaj when Krishna was born, then he wanted to give gifts to all the people. Udipanas are seeing someone give, the Anubhavas are smiling, giving more than the person desires. Vyabhachari Bhavas are conjecture, Vitarka, Utsuka, longing, and harsh joy, etc. There's another one called desire to give up objects. Renunciation, to display your renunciation. So an example of this, devotees do not accept living on my planet, having similar powers, staying close to me, or having a similar form, or to speak of merging into me when these things are offered, unless it involves service to me. Something that's desire to give things up. And then the famous one is Yudhavira, enthusiasm to fight. How can one have enthusiasm to fight with Krishna? Obviously, it's not real fighting. So in the spiritual world, they have fights. Krishna and the cowherd boys have games in which they fight, or they wrestle, etc. So that's the type of positive Yudhavira. And in the fighting in this way, there is pleasure. So this is the major way in which fighting takes place, which is related to the primary rasa. But then we get another type of fighting, Krishna fighting demons. So that also is a type of vira rasa, but it's not with the devotee. So the major type of vira rasa is with the devotee. It's based on a primary rasa. So Krishna has sakya rasa with the cowherd boys, and then he fights with them, and that's the vira rasa based upon sakya. Krishna fights with the demon, but there is no rasa. There is no primary rasa at all. There's no affectionate rasa at all. So it's a little bit different. Roda rasa, anger. Someone may get angry at Krishna. The devotee will get angry at Krishna. Quite common in Madhurya Rasa. The Sakis or Radharani gets angry at Krishna. The elders will get angry at Krishna because he sees Krishna meeting the gopis, or suspecting he's meeting the gopis. So then the parents will start chastising Krishna. He says, "You're a rascal, defaming our daughters, etc." So that's Rodra. Again, it is based on a primary rasa. And one may become angry at other persons as well. If someone acting for Krishna's benefit does not acknowledge Krishna out of carelessness, someone may become angry at that person if someone doesn't seem to be respecting Krishna properly. For instance, the sons of Pandu became furious, and together with the warriors of the Matsya Kaikaya and Srinjaya clans, they rose up from their seats with weapons ready to kill Shishupala. So Shishupala didn't respect Krishna. So then the Pandavas got angry at him. So that's again not based on a primary rasa. For anger rasa, what are the Udipanas? Disrespect. Things like that. Anubhavas, wringing of the hands or whatever, change of color or whatever. Vyabhachari bhavas are mental confusion, etc. Fear rasa, bionic rasa. So Krishna may be the object of fear, but it's also mixed with affection in the positive rasa. Or the devotee fears that someone wants to harm Krishna. So it's fear of another person, or fear for Krishna that he's going to get harmed. or fear that Krishna may separate himself from you. And so the cause is Krishna again. And udipinas are frowns. Krishna may frown, so then one gets fear. Anubhavas are dryness of the mouth, and vyabhacharis are fickleness or insolence, etc. Here is an example. O killer of Madhu, sinful Kamsa should not know that you have been born to me. With mind steady because of your mercy, I fear what Kamsa will do to you. So this is Vasudeva and Devaki having a fear that Kamsa is going to harm Krishna. Bibhatsa, this is disgust rasa. The positive aspect, it takes place within a major rasa, with a feeling of disgust. So it's obvious that we can't be disgusted with Krishna. So we discuss with others, and then one develops more attraction for Krishna. And we have anubhavas like spitting. The example of what's that verse? When I think of women, then I spit. Like this is a Yamunacharya's verse. Here's one from Rukmini. Discuss. A woman who fails to relish the fragrance of the honey of your lotus feet becomes totally befooled, and thus she accepts as her husband or lover a living corpse covered with skin, whiskers, nails, head hair and body hair, and filled with flesh, bones, blood, parasites, feces, mucus, bile and air. So that's disgust. Disgust that the materialistic person who can't respect Krishna. Karuna rasa, pity rasa, also lamentation rasa. So one may show affection for, compassion for Krishna, and it's a positive aspect, such as in the arena of Kamsa. Then Vasudeva and Devaki with the Krishna is there, and he's so small, and the wrestlers are very big. So how can they allow this competition to go on, because Krishna is so helpless? So that's a feeling of affection for Krishna. Or we have here with the Kaliya, when Krishna was in the coils of Kaliya, everyone's thinking, oh, Krishna, he must be in great pain because Kali is squeezing him like this, and they start fainting, etc. Okay, so the udipanas for that rasa are Krishna's actions and whatever, his qualities. Anubhavas are dryness of the face and lamentation. Vyabhacharabhavas are jadya and indecision and getting stunned. Nirveda, despondency, etc. Okay, those are the seven secondary rasas. Then finally we get rasabhas, conflict of rasas. Which in the Chaitanya Charitamrita we see there that I think it was Ramananda Roy, was he doing the checking of the all the different plays and things to see that there was no rasabhasa in their depictions of Krishna and others. Because the rasabhasa will give rise to lack of rasa, a distaste. So we get conflict of rasas, and this creates some distaste. So we have the five major rasas, and some of the secondary rasas may be contrary to another major rasa, neutral, or they cooperated with it. So hasya rasa, for instance, is inimical to dasya during separation. You cannot laugh when there's separation from your master. You don't laugh. You're very serious. That's a conflict to have some joking in there. Sometimes there's secondary rasa conflict with another secondary rasa. Or they may be friendly to each other, or they may be neutral. So hasya is inimical to karuna, which is the pity and lamentation. So if you're lamenting, you cannot laugh. There cannot be comedy within the lamentation rasa, so that's one. Or bhayanak rasa is fear, so there can be no laughing in there also. And of course, hasya is neutral for vira and others. and is friendly to Adbhuta Rasa, because in astonishment you also laugh. Primary rasas may conflict with each other also. Conjugal rasa and vatsalya cannot go together. You cannot have a motherly affection for Krishna and a conjugal affection for Krishna. Not proper. So that Vatsalya Rasa and Vasudev, the father in Dwarka, gets it's a conflict between that Vatsalya and Dasya, because he also feels like he's the servant of Krishna. Krishna is very great, so there's a conflict there. And therefore the Vatsalya may decrease because of the feeling that Krishna is Supreme Lord and he's in a Dasya mood. So when we get conflict between a primary and a secondary and a secondary, a primary and a primary. These are the different things that will create conflict and constantly rasa bas. Then when we get the conflict between a sthayi bhava, which is any of these, primary or secondary rasas, with a vebhachari bhava or an anubhava, we can get a conflict. For instance, Bali is in Dasya Rasa, but then his speech may be in conflict with that. Because he has assumed the form of a Brahmana full of fear, even if he irreligiously arrests me, though I am sinless, I shall not retaliate, although he is my enemy. So that's his speech. In conflict with his dasya mood. You may get conflict between a primary and a vebhachari, or primary and anubhavas, etc. Uddhava then joyfully addressed Nanda Maharaj, having clearly seen the supreme loving attraction he and Yasoda felt for Krishna, the Supreme Lord. His vebhachari bhava, joy, is unsuitable to his sorrow, seeing their suffering. So he says, Uddhava joyfully addressed Nanda Maharaj. But how can he do that? Because he saw them suffering. So the joy is a vebhachari bhava, and it's conflicting with the sorrow, which is another vebhachari bhava. Okay, so that's about it. Okay. Hare Krishna, yeah.
Marty, can you go back to the slides that were showing the different moods of the devotees, Tara, Tara, Kali, and all that sort of
thing? Oh, way back there. The different groups. The Tathashta and the... that one.
So there's got Karaka and Shalma. I'm sure it's said Shalma or Shalma, yeah. Then the Tathasta. Yet we see that at the beginning of the Bhaktarasana and Sindhu, the group was always offering obeisances to them.
Yeah. So he actually he includes all of these groups there and different. Because it's a strange little verse that has two meanings to it. Has a meaning about the gopis, different gopis, ultimately with Radha at the end. And we have Shama Lalita, so Lalita is mentioned, she's that gopi. And then we get Shama there. And then we get, I think, Pali? Taraka and Pali are there. So Pali is the extreme. So we get all grades of gopis mentioned there, from the furthermost up to the Radha, finally. Sapaksha. So we get the Vipaksha, Tathashta, Srutid, Sapaksha, and then Radha herself mentioned cleverly in that verse.
So what
does it mean? So it represents all the gopis. Not only Radha, but all the other gopis also are included in that. Because it's all conjugal rasa.
Yeah.
So the varieties in conjugal rasa. So for instance, we have Radharani, who is the there's a whole description, Ujjwal Nilamani, about her qualities, etc. So there's all different types of qualities. She has a stubbornness, but she's a Madhyama. She's kind of also very sweet, etc. And then we have Chandravali, who is very obedient, not stubborn at all, very compliant with Krishna, etc. We have all these different groups of different characteristics, and they're just different personalities. All with their different groups of people with them. Yeah? And Krishna loves them all. But he loves Radharani the most. So then in relation to Radharani, then we have these whole different groups, those who are completely opposite, those who are somewhat favorable, some are more favorable, etc. And so all of them are involved in Mundari Rasa. And then there's some pastimes between the different groups.
So there's a conversation when Krishna Maharaj is discussing the nature of devotion to Sri Prabhupada. And he says, I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember the word of the conversation, but basically what Krishna Maharaj was saying, well, the Krishna book is Krishna's book, is the nature of devotion Radha's book, and Prabhupada confirmed, he said, yes, it's Radha's book. Or it's Bhattabha or something like that. So it just seems like, you know, because the mood is somewhat, especially with Palika and Padmasaiva, the mood is somewhat contrary to Radha's mood.
Well, once from the point of view of Radha and her group, yes, but from the point of view of Rasa in general, it's all part of Madhurya Rasa, which is the highest Rasa. So in that sense, we can say that ultimately the nectar devotion, more particularly the Ujjwala Nilamani, is all Madhurya Rasa. But in nectar devotion, we have all Rasas, primary and secondary. Yeah? Ujjwala Nilamani is only Madhurya Rasa, but even there, then we get all the gopis. We get Chandravali's group, we get all the different groups there.
So this is a lot from Ujjwala Nilamani.
Yeah, he's quoting a lot from there, actually. Yeah.
Then the other question I had was, later on you're talking about separation. Then in the, I don't remember what chapter it is in the 10th canto, when Krishna meets the residents of Vrindavan for a scheduled occasion, but
yeah,
eclipse. There he describes the gopis, because after he sort of sneaks away from all the other,
yeah,
then he goes and meets the gopis privately.
Yeah.
And then he says, but actually, I've always been there.
Yeah.
So how does that fit in with the, is this like a Vikramba kind of thing? Because they're constantly meditating on him, he's always there.
Oh, okay. Okay, so there is, within separation, there is what we call spurti, inner manifestation of Krishna, spurti. So he manifests because of their intense feeling of separation, he manifests. So it is said that though when the Krishna was away and then finally Uddhava came back, before he came back, because of their intense separation, Krishna manifested within them. And they got a little satisfied. They didn't die because of that, because Krishna manifested within them. However, they're not satisfied with that. They want the external manifestation of Krishna. So you have to come back. We don't care about this internal thing. And then when Uddhava comes and speaks to them, then he consoles them. Well, actually, I'm everywhere, like the yogi sees, you know, Paramam everywhere, or like the ether is everywhere, or earth is pervading all the elements, etc. So I'm everywhere also, but then they're not satisfied with that. And then also when Krishna speaks to them in Kurukshetra, a similar type of thing he says, you know, I'm pervading everywhere, so be satisfied with that. But they're not satisfied with that either. So they actually want Krishna.
Right. Now with Uddhava's return to Vrindavan, there's a kind of like an inner meaning behind that as well, isn't there? Looks the same as Krishna.
Uddhava. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's why he chose Uddhava. He was a very intimate associate of Krishna. He looked like Krishna. He was the closest to Krishna, like we see in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that in Dwarka, Uddhava is with Krishna all the time, whereas the other Yadus are not. They don't see him except when he comes to the assembly. So he's a very intimate, he's a counselor of Krishna. Krishna's gets his advice on everything, and so therefore he was very trustworthy. Plus, Uddhava, among all the people in the Yadus, he was the one that could actually understand the people of Vrindavan. So he's an intermediary. So in Gopal Champu, it is said that he could go back again afterwards, and when Krishna went back, he took him back also, and he could stay there eternally, actually. into Vrindavan pastimes, even though he's from Dwarka. So he's the only person from Dwarka to go into the Madhurya pastimes because he understood very well the minds of the people there. Therefore, Krishna trusted him and gave him the message. And he also trusted him to understand Madhurya Rasa with the gopis, so he gave the message to him only because he could understand them. So he's like quite an exalted devotee who can go through both places, either Dwarka or Vrindavan.
Krishna also wanted to see the nature of the love.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, another purpose was to show the people of Mathura, that is the Yadus, that the love of the gopis and all the people of Vrindavan was much greater than the Yadus' love. So, Uddhava could understand that. He could appreciate the intensity of their love and how much greater it was. So he sent him, then he came back, and then he told everybody, yes, their love is greater than our love.
So that, following on with that, if we can see that something's greater than what we have, then naturally we want that, but whoever chose to stay with that Vaishnava in the relationship, why didn't he then say, well, I'll give him a wisdom, I'm going to go to Vrindavan?
Who? Uddhava?
Yeah.
Well, as I said, he actually is qualified for Vrindavan. So later on, Krishna takes them there also.
But he doesn't stay there.
In one sense, he does, yeah. He can, I think in the eternal pastimes, he can stay there. He can go either way, both places. So, yeah. When probably he takes them back. I'm not sure if he takes them back when he goes from Mathura at the end. But, yeah, he makes the point that he can go both places. He's very highly qualified.
And Uddhava was the last person Krishna thought about when he was playing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Obviously quite special.
Yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj. Just one particular pastime. When you were speaking that Krishna separated himself from the gopis, and the gopis went looking for him, they went into the forest, and then it got really dark, so they went back to the banks of the Ganga, and Krishna appeared, and then
when they did kirtan, they do kirtan.
Yeah, actually, when Krishna did, also trying to charm him and sort of keep him bound up by the clever conversation of asking him riddles.
Oh, the riddle, yeah.
Like that. So, is that like a secondary rasa? Or?
Well, that's an example of what happens in Madhurya rasa. They show cleverness. And then Krishna shows his cleverness, and they use the words, and they trick around with the words, etc. So it's the type of thing they do within Madhurya Rasa, the cleverness and use of words, etc. But ultimately, the whole purpose of that was to show that, finally, the conclusion of all that was that Krishna says, I am indebted to you, and I cannot repay you for anything. So what I want to show the world by separating from you, you're mad at me now, but I did this for the purpose to show that nobody can compare to you, and therefore I cannot repay you in any way because you give up everything for me. I don't have to give up anything. I don't give up my parents, I don't give up anything, but you run away from all your family and your parents and everybody and get scolded. Nothing happens to me. So, what you give up is much greater than what I give up, so therefore I'm indebted to you. So I want to show the world that. So then the gopis, they heard that and they said, oh yeah, Krishna's very nice. They forgave him after that.
Yeah, in the beginning when he reappeared, he said, oh, just here I am, I'm just joking.
Yeah, yeah. They were a little angry. So then he had to appease their anger in order to have the Rasalila. So therefore, through this riddle and his explanation, then they were appeased finally. Yes, Krishna's. He's doing it to praise us, so we accept that.
Yeah. Just one more quick question. Just like when Krishna killed Dantavakra, obviously he was dressed in Chandra, and then when he crossed the river Yamuna, so he changed his clothes and he came
to the
place again.
Yeah. That's described in detail, I think, in the Gopal Champu, I think. He comes back, yeah? But of course, there's another interesting fact there. When he does go back, and then he marries all the gopis. So it ends in the Parikya changes into Svakya Rasa also there. Yeah. Finally. So that's the end of the Leela. The Parikya disappears and then turns into Svakya, and that's the eternal Rasa in the spiritual world, according to, you know.
Just one more thing, sort of comment, maybe question, is that like when these gopis feeling this intense emotion, just like you described, like the emotion of death and painting on the ground and, you know, all these other symptoms, that sort of goes beyond the material body. It's just like, can you understand it? Because they have these spiritual bodies, they have these more intense emotions, much more refined than us material human beings who are in it.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. And actually, even if you have prema in the material world, you cannot experience those emotions because still got a material body.
Yes.
It's the limitation, and you can't experience all those emotions. You can get out to prema, you cannot go to sneha, man, and those things. In order to experience those things, then you have to give up this body. So
that's just hearing the description of spiritual.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And all these emotions, which look like suffering, are actually within prema, within joy, bliss.
So Maharaj, just following up on the point you made then, you made the comment that when Krishna returned to Vrindavan after killing Dattabhaka, at that point he married all the gopis.
Yeah, well, this is the whole idea that Jiva Goswami supports Swakiya Rasa as supreme, married. So that we see in Gopal Champa, that's the conclusion, they get married there.
There's also a story that when Brahma stole the cows and cowherd boys, and Krishna manifests himself as all the cowherd boys during that year,
then they all got,
that's when they all got married.
To Krishna, yeah, yeah, because it
so
was, Krishna was all the cowherd boys. Yeah. So then he got married to them.
Yeah. Is that a particular group of gopis that he married at that time?
I don't know. The Goswamis don't mention that story. It comes from Garga Samhita or somewhere? I don't know where it comes from, but I hear it told an awful lot. But yeah, but I never, the Rupa Goswami doesn't mention it, Jiva Goswami doesn't mention it, Vishnu doesn't mention it either. So.
Okay. But this one you just mentioned from the Gopal Champa, was it?
About the marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And he says, see, before, the other thing was, they were not real husbands. Because you can't get married twice. So therefore, they actually weren't married to these husbands. It was not a real marriage. They were not real husbands as such. The whole thing was a kind of an illusion in which the gopis themselves were not the real gopis then. So they didn't actually touch the husbands at all. They didn't really live with their husbands. They were imitation forms.
But I know that was the case of Radha when she married Abhimanyu, was it?
Yeah.
She never actually had contact with
him. Yeah, so there was another form there that substituted. And then the husbands thought, oh, these are our wives, but actually they were different. They were the Maya wives.
Getting back to the question, I think I made that spiritual bodies, so therefore the husbands did not see the spiritual bodies, they saw a material
body. Yeah, not the body.
Not the spiritual body, so they didn't experience it.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. You mentioned about Sambhoga and in Krishna went back finally to Vrindavan, took the eternity to his abode and became a perfect leader.
Yeah.
So is that when
oh, that's in Lalita Madhava. That's the story told in Rupa Goswami's play. So that's a particular instance. And then I think Vishnu says that took place in a different yuga cycle. Because here we find that all the gopis went and they met Krishna in Kurukshetra. But according to that story, they actually all died off, you know, in Vrindavan, and then they wouldn't be able to go to Kurukshetra. So, and then they got reincarnated as the major queens in Dwarka there, like Satyabhama and Rukmini, etc. They became the different queens there in Dwarka. So that's, I think Vishnu says that's from another yuga cycle that took place like that. So. Okay, Hare Krishna.